Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hey, everybody, welcome to Fungela. We were just saying that I don't have any shows to promote because my tour is donezo. Are we officially done by the time this comes out?
Wait.
There might be like a show left.
A show. Yes, there's going to be like two.
That last two weekend shows of casinos?
In April,
but are they sold out already?
For the most part, yeah.
So I don't have nothing to promote, you guys.
Just the YouTubes.
The tour is done. So if you want to see all the fun we had on tour, you can go to YouTube, watch AJ on the Road. That's our docu-series documenting the whole trip. And then also my taping. That's what we'll start promoting. I haven't dropped any info yet on what it's called or when it comes
out.
Stay
tuned.
So stay tuned for that. But my next hour special will be dropping.
Two, I was just thinking, definitely watch AJ on the Road for all of you guys that are like, you didn't come to Texas. We sure did. We absolutely did.
That's the worst.
The number one comment, I swear, is Texas.
When we leave a city and then people go, what the heck? When are you coming to Houston? I'd be like, girl, I was just in Houston. Yeah. Where were you?
Yeah. Hello? And you call yourself a fan.
Hello. Anyway, thank you for watching and listening to Fungela. This episode, we have my friend Justina Machado. She's my favorite actress. She's one of my favorite actresses. Sandra Bullock and Justina. We talk about it on the episode. These are my favorites. She's so talented. She's so good. And I'm so honored that she came and sat down with us. She's been in so many different TV shows, movies. She's been doing it since the 90s. She's incredible. We have a great conversation. We laugh a lot. We get some insider behind the scenes information on some of these shows that she was working on. It's such a fun conversation. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, my YouTube, subscribe, all the things, and tell everybody why you love this podcast. If you want to call us and tell us what you're grateful for or what you're mad about, or if you need advice on anything in your life, you can call us or email us. Danielle will give you that information.
Yes, 747-300-5380 is the phone number you can call or text us. Don't forget that. That's a fun feature. Or you can email us at fungelapodcast@gmail.com or on Angela's website as well. There is a form you can fill out, and you can also tell us what passions or hobbies we should try this summer. That is also our summer project. Yeah. That is what we're doing.
That's what it is. I have to figure out a passion. So help me do that. And until then, enjoy this episode of Fungela with Justina Machado. Any kind of Netflix TV show that's coming out and they do their like cast photo or they're, you know, promoting the show.
Yeah.
He's always working on those photo shoots. So he'll bring home random.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah.
You got some water perks.
Uh-huh. Candles and like all the writer stuff that goes unused.
Exactly. The stuff that just stays there.
What's on your writer?
My writer?
Yeah. Do you have a writer for like a green room? Like,
no.
No?
That's so funny. I was like, I thought you meant the writers in the room. No. I was like, oh, that's what she's like. What's that? I was like, what the talking about myself, my writer. No, I don't have the girl, please. I'm so not that person.
Really?
Well, because what would I ask for?
It's I don't
like,
know.
Like, not, just water, I guess, you know, sparkling maybe you water. White wine, always.
Ooh, okay, there it is.
Unless I, yes, if I can get away with it, you know what I mean? If I can get away with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think after all these years of all these shows you've been on, you probably learned a little like, hey, I have to have, you know, fruits in my green room or something.
No, because I'm not really in a green room a lot. You know what I mean? It's like those, that would be mostly like talk shows.
Or like dressing room or something.
Yeah, but honestly, that would just be mostly talk shows. And, and you know, I haven't done a lot of them. I mean, the last one I did was a long time ago. What was like when I was on One Day at a Time, Jimmy Kimmel. And I never think about that. I never think about like, as long as I have water, I'm not going to eat there. Yeah. Like who eats? You know what I mean? I'm not going to eat there. And I don't have a lot of people around me because it makes me nervous.
Oh, yeah. So you don't roll with entourage or nothing?
I mean, I'll roll with who I have to. My manager, of course, if she, you know, I'd love for her to come. My hair and makeup, and if the stylist has to come. But other than that, yeah, I don't really like a lot of people around. It makes me nervous.
You're just about that business.
I'm about that business. Yeah. Although people were in my dressing room all the time on One Day at a Time.
Yeah.
All the time. I had like 10 people in there, five. And I do well in chaos, but right before an interview, I'm too nervous. So I don't want people around me. Yeah.
But like on the show, you're in your element? Like you're in...
If I'm on a show?
Yeah, like that's, you don't get nervous for One Day at a Time. Let's say it's tape day.
I mean, right before we would get nervous going on, like Rita Moreno and I would get really nervous. But like I just did Broadway. I just did a musical.
Wait, Rita would get nervous?
Yeah, Rita and I would get nervous. Yes. But Rita, we always got nervous, but never nervous on Broadway. I never got nervous on Broadway.
Really?
Never.
Oh, that's where I feel like I would get for sure-sies nervous. No, because you can't do overs.
No, and I think that's why it's not nerve-wracking, because you just have to be so focused and you have to be so ready and you have to get out there. Like, you know, you do stand-up and you can't do overs.
Yeah.
So because you can't do overs, you don't have the luxury of, like, being nervous. I mean, I wasn't nervous at all when I did Real Women Have Curves at all.
Wow.
Yeah, at all.
That's
like,
amazing.
As soon as I opened that door, I was like... it was just like, you know, when my entrance, I was never like, oh, I mean, of course, opening night, maybe, you know what I mean? The first night of previews, but on a regular, no, I was never nervous. But on One Day at a Time, I was nervous every time before the first take.
Wow.
Because, you know, you can bomb, you know?
Yeah, and then
it's like, okay, and you still got to go back out there. And then they're like, they come in and change the joke and you're like, thank you, God. But you got to go back out there again.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay. Do you, you've done everything from a multicam sitcom to single cam comedy to drama to Broadway to all this thing, like the diversity in your, you can do it all. Is there anything that brings you more joy? I don't want to say the most joy, like I have the most fun doing this, but is there one of them that like gives you those like happy butterflies more than the other one?
A Broadway. For sure, Broadway, because you're out there and the audience is right in front of you. It's immediate gratification. Like there's nothing. It's like that moment in Funny Girl where like Barbara Streisand standing out there and singing My Man at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. It's that moment where it's dark. The theater is dark. The spotlight is on you. And it's like there's no other feeling than Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah. Broadway too, not just any theater, because I've done a lot of theater, but really being on that stage and in that world.
Yeah. Do you think it has also something to do with like the magic of New York City and like...
I think it just has to do with the magic of Broadway, you know? I mean, New York City, of course, is incredible. It's to me, it's the greatest city in the world. But I mean, I prefer living in LA. I'll get a lot of slack for that one. But it's like, I like the sanctuary of Los Angeles. Uh-huh. But I do love me some New York. And I'm originally from Chicago. So that was the progression. I went from Chicago to New York to here. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like New York. So there's nothing like Broadway. I mean, I don't like Times Square. I don't like going to Times Square. Mm-hmm. But when you're in it, you can't help but get that energy, all the people. And New Yorkers love, like true New Yorkers that have been there that love theater, love Broadway. Mm-hmm. And they're so loyal, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah. And then even... honestly, even the actors on Broadway that like bounce around. Yeah. And like you can see them in different productions and whatnot. Like, what
and also one of the things I noticed because I was nominated for a Tony this
year. Yes, she was.
Yes, I was. And I say to everybody, okay? Because I'm like this, forget that. I was nominated for a Tony. Uh-huh. So in the Tony, because of that, I had to go to a lot of things. Uh-huh. And what I really loved about the Broadway community is how much they support each other, how much they go to each other's things, because it's such a small community. And also that truly, not all of them, but they're just like theater nerds, you know, and they get to be themselves. There's no pretension. Nobody's like trying to act cool. Yeah. Nobody's trying to act like, you know, I'm doing this job, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, I'm up for this, but it's not a big deal. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is so interesting, so great. I think it's a bit archaic. They need to stop the 8 shows a week. I think that's crazy. But other than that, I think it's really an incredible experience. And if an actor wants to do something like that, they should try to pursue it because it really is unforgettable.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would love to do something like that.
I think you would. Yeah.
I feel like that could be fun.
Yeah.
Especially coming from like stand up and that world. Performing in front of a live audience, which is why I love multicam sitcoms.
Yeah, I love that too. That's my second favorite.
Oh, just so dreamy.
It is.
The schedule?
Girl, that would be my next thing. The schedule. And you're a mama.
Yeah.
So, and then also what's wonderful about sitcoms on, and I just think in general, most sets, well, you know, there's nothing going on in LA, which is really sad. There's only a few things happening here. That makes me so sad.
Really? Because
in Hollywood? Oh, yeah. So many productions are not here anymore. And that makes me so sad because not only do I love this city so much, but also this is what this city was made. Yeah. This is what made LA, Hollywood. Uh-huh. And the fact that we don't get to work here anymore is really heartbreaking to me. For the last 4 or 5 years, I've barely worked in LA. After One Day at a Time, I was everywhere except Los Angeles. And that's heartbreaking to me. But see, here's the premenopause. I forgot what the hell I was talking about.
The schedule of a sitcom.
The schedule. One of the things that they do is they work with mothers. They work with new mothers. I mean, there's always a room. There's always a nursery. Mm-hmm. Like on One Day at a Time, Todd and India had just had a baby. Aww. So there was, you know, everybody dedicated a room for them and the baby was always there. Uh-huh. And, you know, I love that about a sitcom. And I think most sets are becoming like that too, you know, a lot more friendly with that.
That my first job, I was an extra on Friends.
Oh my God.
That was my very first job.
You were the only Latina on that freaking show.
Oh yes.
Girl, you know, I never watched that show because of that.
Really?
I literally never watched Friends. I boycotted Friends. And
oh
then,
my God.
But then at the gym, I was like, oh my God, that's just funny.
Oh my God, that's my favorite show.
Boycotted it because I was like, how the fudge do you live in New York and you don't even have a Hector? You know what I mean? Nobody had an affair with a Puerto Rican, a Dominican? You know what I mean? There's nobody in the bodega? Get out of here.
Get
you know
out
what
of
I mean?
Here. Not even one bodega employee that
Not
they
could
have. Not
even one bodega? Okay, get out of here. They went to that coffee shop every day. Hector didn't work at the coffee shop. It is a funny show, though. I've caught it at the gym and I was like, I'm like looking at it like this because I boycotted it in the 90s. The only person, believe me, the only person.
Well, now you know there was a Latina. She just didn't get to say anything.
Oh my God, exactly.
All she got to do is walk back and forth like this. Hilarious. That was my first job. I just moved to LA.
Wow.
And I signed up to be an extra. It was a whole story of how that even happened. But so I ended up being an extra on Friends. And I remember walking onto the Warner Brothers lot and walking past all the different sound stages and just how magical it was. Yeah. And just like walking onto the stage and seeing like the guy's apartment, the girl's apartment, the coffee shop, whatever. And then we would be in the bleachers, the stands during their like rehearsals and stuff. And just like being a part of that magic.
Yeah.
The smell of a sound stage still until this day is so like magical, and I'm like, oh my God, I love it.
And I love it too. And you were on the most magical sitcom.
Yeah.
Because that was, I mean, I heard that it was so popular that they would do 2 shows.
Really?
You know, like,
I wasn't there for those.
Something
2
like
shows.
That. I mean, it just was so, I mean, can you imagine being a part of something that successful?
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
But that's where I learned the schedule.
Yes.
And I learned about table read, rehearsal.
go home at 3 o'clock. You know, the day you read the script depends who your director is. If you have a director that wants to rehearse that day, great. You might have a director because they have to make changes after the read through. And then they're like, go home. And you're home at like 12, at like 11 o'clock in the morning, noon. It's it's incredible.
Yeah.
And show night is the best.
Magical.
So much fun.
So fun. Yeah. The audience, the energy is fire. It just, everything. I think this is what I love most about multicam sitcoms is the bloopers.
Like, yes.
And getting to include the audience in those moments.
Yes.
And like breaking that wall just for them and like those types of moments.
It's great.
So fun. And then after a take, when all the writers would come on and like rewrite something that didn't work and then rewrite it and then taking it again.
Yeah.
Just that. Just
it's really exciting.
It's fun.
And it's a good and it's an incredible if you're whatever stage you are in your life as an actor, what a great learning experience it is to be able to keep focused, but yet have the audience engage with you, be able to change things immediately. You know, it's like everybody's in it together and the audience is in it with you, you know, because they're always on your side. The warm-up person, I mean, that is such, you know, like before there's a show in between takes, they have somebody who entertains the audience and they're so incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Like my showrunner on One Day at a Time used to be a warm-up guy.
No way.
Yeah. And I, for like, I think, what was that show that Michael J. Fox was on and then Charlie Sheen replaced him? It was about working in a news place or something. It was a sitcom. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Oh God, I don't remember. I don't know. It's something in the '90s, but he was the, warm up dude for that.
Wow.
I love it.
He was a showrunner?
Mike Royce.
Oh
yeah, Mike Royce was a warm-up guy.
Stop.
Well,
how
he's
cool. Was it Spin City?
Okay. Yeah. So he used to be a warm-up guy for Spin City, and Mike Royce is an incredible stand-up. I don't think he does it anymore, but you know, he was an executive producer on Everybody Loves Raymond, and he was the co-showrunner on my show. Just like, just what? I mean, I love Mike Royce. Yeah. Love him.
Oh, how special! What a fun! What an incredible career that you've had, and I love that we get to talk about all these moments. And I've said this to you before, but I will say it again. I have two favorite actresses, I'm a fan of a lot of people. I'd be like, oh my God, I love this person. Oh my gosh, she's so good. Oh, he's great. Blah blah blah. I'm a fan. I like to be a fan.
Yeah, me too.
I like to be a fan of people. So I have two favorite actresses. One is Sandra Bullock. And I feel like every time I see her in whatever it is that she's doing, I'm like, yep, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Again.
Yeah.
Well done. Again. My other favorite actress is Justina Machado.
Oh, my God. Every time she says that, it's so sweet.
You are.
Gracias.
My favorite.
Ay, gracias.
And I remember the moment when it happened, watching you in Pedro.
Oh, yes. Pedro. That movie. Really?
Early 2000s.
I love that. That was the thing that
was the moment.
Made you like
that
me.
Was the moment when he asked you to go get him a glass of water.
When he was dying, and we did the Virgin Mary,
and you bring it to him to drink, and he says no, put it under the bed.
Yes, and
then you start losing it, and then I start done. Ugh. That's it.
What,
that's where I was.
What
like,
movie was this?
Pedro.
Oh,
it was just called.
And you know, I love that moment. And the thing is, the funny thing about that part. Is that we shot that movie in Puerto Rico and we were in some really not kept together home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a hot mess. And we had 5 minutes to do that scene.
No way.
5 minutes. And I was like, well, let's do it. You know, when you're doing an independent film, you can't, you're going to lose it. You're not going to have that thing. And Alex Loynaz, who played Pedro, literally said that during that whole thing, there was a big ass cockroach flying.
Stop.
So I'm over here like doing, and he goes that the cockroach was just flying because, you know, they got the flying cockroaches in Puerto Rico. And literally I was like, bro, thank you so much for not telling me.
Okay.
Because I would have been out the door and be like, I guess we're not getting that take.
That's wild. Oh,
excuse me.
And that's where I fell in love with you. In that moment, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, it was just so
real and raw and perfect, and you just sucked me right in.
Thank you.
And ever since then, just a huge fan of yours and your career. I mean, like you say, first of all, the amount of shows that you have been a series regular on.
Not a series regular. Okay. Some of them series regular. A lot of them just heavy recurrings.
Heavy.
Look at that. I always have to like, well, not this, not that. You know what I mean?
Heavy.
Heavy recurrings. Yeah.
Like most people are lucky. Ooh, girl, I got, you know, 6 episodes on Woo Woo Woo.
Yeah, yeah,
just,
yeah.
You know, over here, like, I'm on episode 23. Let's go. Like.
To me, it's like, yeah, yeah. I don't know what it is. I always feel like. Like, I have to underplay only because people are... I've been here for so long, and it's changed so much.
Yeah.
The whole business has changed, but also people's attitudes have changed, which has gotten better.
Good.
Do you know what I mean? So it's not a bad thing. But when I first got here, which was in 1995, I was in New York in 94. In 95, you couldn't tell people what you wanted to do or what you were trying to do, because then they thought you just were arrogant, you know? So you couldn't be like, you had to pretend you were just here to be just here.
Right.
And, you know, because the people that spoke about acting all the time, which is what all you heard.
Yeah.
All you heard in the 90s. And now I miss it because that's not what happens anymore. But you kind of didn't want to be that way and you didn't want to. And then this new generation of actors came. And I think it was like around the 2000s where they were very, very outspoken about what it is that they wanted to do and what it they wanted to accomplish. And then it became okay.
Yeah.
So I think I struggle with it. I go back
and forth. Well, you don't have to downplay anything here, girl.
So I struggle with stuff. I'm like, oh, God, you know?
No, you've had a astounding career. Very, very cool.
I need to be reminded because sometimes you really feel like you're not getting anywhere. You know?
Oh my gosh. And you know, when those moments happen for me, it's funny because I'll have like a radio interview scheduled to promote a random show. And I'm like, oh man, I gotta wake up at 6 a.m. to go promote this show, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm on hold, right? Because you hear the radio people talking to each other and they're like, you know, the weather today, we got highs of 76 and blah, 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 whatever. And you're waiting for them to intro you and start going in. And it'll always be like, if I'm feeling like down about something or like, man, what am I doing with my life? Where are we going? What are we doing? And then I'll hear them getting ready to announce me and they're like, all right, our guest today. And they start going over my resume and the things that I've done. And I'm like, I hear it and I go, whoa. And it's such an amazing reminder of like, what a cool life I have lived. And won't he do it? Like, if God did it back then, he'll do it again. Like,
I have to remember that, you know? Of course he'll do it, or they'll do it. I don't want to make God a he.
Whoever you want to make him,
I just want God is God, you know? Tired of it, he's doing things.
Won't they do it?
Won't they do it? Whatever they is.
Listen, they, them, we appreciate you.
Yeah, it's like, so... But yeah, I have to remember that because it starts to go like, because you get all the noise like, oh, this is happening, that's happening, nothing's happening, this is going on. And then it's just like noise, 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 noise. And you just got to keep focused. Whatever that is, it changes constantly.
I have so many questions. Okay, on this podcast, we do mattitudes and gratitudes. Yes. That's the one thing that makes you mad, gets under your skin, what gets on your nerves. And then we'll talk about some things that you're grateful for throughout your life. But I have so many more questions that I want to ask you. So let's do your mattitude first and then I'm going to jump in. So what makes you mad? What gets on your skin? What annoys you?
Oh, God. The thing is, I'm a Virgo. A lot of things annoy me. I'm getting over a cough. The cough that the whole world has right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me. Oh, God, I'm a Virgo. So many things annoy me. You know, a big thing that annoys me is people that are, or just in general, that talk about something over and over and they don't have a solution for it. Mm. Like, I'm okay with listening, but I'm a fixer. Okay. So what are we going to do to fix this thing? Yeah. I can't be the one that's there listening to the same story over and over again about your relationship, the same story there, or the same story at work, or the same story. I'm always like, so what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Another mattitude is when people just, and I don't know if this is a mattitude, but what gets under my skin is when people just don't believe that they can be more and do more. You know, when they just don't see it, when they just don't get it. And that's not what's mad. I think it makes me, it's sadder to me, you know? Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, you know, feel stuck in whatever situation that they're in. I think that's my biggest attitude. Like, you know, not taking care of what's in front of you and just kind of again and again. I cannot stand that again and again and again.
Do you think it's because you have such like drive and determination and you're like, wait, what are you doing? Here, do you need some of mine? Here.
Because I think it's doable, because I also think like I look at a lot of people that have everything, not everything, because you never know what's going on in people's lives, but that have the tools. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you could do how I got through things without having any kind of help, any kind of family situation that would make me feel that way, any kind of support. Sometimes I can be a bit annoying, because my brothers always say to me, yeah, you just don't listen. You're just, you compare about what you did. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like the one that says, well, I walked 5 miles in the snow. I'm that person, you know? So I'm like, I'm trying desperately in 2026 to not be so like, oh my God, get over that. Like my favorite line is get over yourself. It's my favorite thing. I always tell people that, get over yourself. And they're like, what? Like, get over yourself. And I take my own advice, though. I'm one of those people, like, you can tell me stuff, because I, you know, nobody wants anybody to be mean to them. But I can take my own advice. I don't give out advice that I don't do.
Yeah. Do you have somebody in your life that checks you or like?
No, I mean, yeah, but not really, because I'm very cautious of what I tell people. Okay. Like, I don't tell people things until I'm ready to get checked.
Okay.
Until I'm ready to get checked. But I ain't trying to get your opinion. You know what I'm saying? Because it gets too cloudy.
Yeah.
But when I'm ready, when I don't know what's going on, when I'm kind of saying, like, maybe I'm not doing the right thing. Yes, I have my friend Elsie. You know Freddie Rodriguez? His wife.
Oh, nice.
Who I've known her since Chicago, you know. And lots of girlfriends. I have lots of girlfriends. But honestly, I don't. My family, my cousins, but I don't tell people. I don't really, unless, like I said, unless I really want to hear it, I don't. Yeah. My manager, you know, she's been my longest relationship. I've been with her for over 25 years.
Wow, long term.
I know.
You guys have been going steady.
She's my longest relationship. I love her.
I love that for you. What, before we jump into your gratitudes, and your gratitude could be from childhood.
Yeah.
It could be within your career.
I got lots of gratitudes.
Yeah. Within your career, within your friendships, whatever your gratitude may be. Let's just jump into gratitude. What is one of your gratitudes in life?
I mean, it sounds cliche, but my family, you know, my community.
Tell me about your family. You have siblings?
I'm the oldest of five. Wow. So I have a sister and three brothers. And we're very, very close. So I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful that we work towards that because I'm a lot older than, you know, not one brother. I'm only a year older, but then I'm 14 years older than my sister and 17 years older than the twins.
Whoa.
So I'm a lot older than them. Yeah. So I left Chicago young. So I made it a point to go back as much as I could to get to know them. Because I never wanted them to not know me.
Yeah.
And because I remember when I was little, I used to have a lot of, when we'd have friends in the neighborhood and somebody would say, oh, that's my older brother. And I'd be like, oh, and they're like, but I don't really know him because he's like 10 years older. He's like, and I thought that was so weird. Yeah. And it was so sad to me.
Yeah.
So that was important to me. Gratitude, the angels that I've met along the way in my career, because honestly, this came out of nowhere, but it didn't come out of nowhere because it's what it was supposed to be.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So the people that I always happen to find, or they happen to find me, somebody who just helps me out tremendously.
When you say it came out of nowhere, do you mean like the level of the career that you have had, or just the fact that you're an actor, period?
The fact that I'm an actor. Okay, because once that. I became an actor, I was incredibly ambitious and in fact felt like a failure for a long time because I didn't become a star. You know, in my head, I was like, I'm not a star. I'm not a movie star. Remember, it's the 90s. So it was like movies or TVs. You couldn't do both.
How old were you when you started acting?
18.
18. So how did it start?
I was working at a bank, First American Bank in Chicago, downtown Chicago. And my best friend's mother, I went to high school with, her mother was an agent. And her mother was the only Latina agent in Chicago, Mirna Salazar. And she had an agency called Salazar and Navas.
Wow.
And Ileana and I, that was her daughter, were best friends in high school. And I knew her mother was an agent. And I was always like interested, of course, you know. But whatever, I didn't think about it. I didn't even know how I would do it. So one day I was working at the bank and she called me up and she's like, I know you're not an actress, but there's an audition for this play at the Latino Chicago Theater. And they're looking for a girl your age, Puerto Rican. She didn't have to be Puerto Rican, you know, but that the character was Puerto Rican. And I was so desperate and I didn't know what I was going to do in my life that I was like, I'm going to go. So I went and I walked in and I spoke to the artistic director and then he became one of my biggest mentors, you know, and I went in and I auditioned, you know, and it was the lead of the show of the play and I got it. And he said, I know you don't have experience, but I'm going to surround you with actors that are experienced and we're going to lift you up and all this stuff. And then he asked me to do another play. Then he asked me to do another play. And then he would say, do you, and I would say, yeah, I'm just doing this because I don't know what I'm going to do in my life. So that I'm just going to do this. And so every play he would ask me, do you think you're an actor now? And I'd be like, no, because in my hood,
I'm
from the inner city of Chicago. Like I'm an actor. Everybody's going to make fun of me. Everybody's like, oh, you an extra? Everybody's like, you know, busting your balls or bust, you know, whatever they do, however you say it. So you couldn't say you were an actor in my neighborhood. Everybody would make fun of you. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So, and then one day I was like, no, I guess I think I am. And as soon as I made that decision, I was like, I got to get out of Chicago. Because if I want bigger and better, Chicago's a great city. And I knew that I could always have a theater career in Chicago. But once I decided this is what I wanted to do, I wanted to get to the absolute top of it. And so I went to New York, not L.A., because I wanted to do Broadway. And then I got a job in L.A. and never went back to New York. not because of me, but because L.A. kept me here, you know?
Yeah. What was the job that you got here?
I got a actually it wasn't a job. What happened was this. I tested for a pilot. Montel Williams had a pilot. It was about he was a teacher in high school. This is how long ago it was, okay? Dolores Robinson, who's Holly Robinson Pete's mother, was one of the biggest managers in Hollywood at that time. She had Wesley Snipes, she had Rosie Perez, she had Jada Pinkett, you name it, she had it. She saw me in that because she was Montel Williams' manager. She tracked me down in New York and said, if you come to LA, I'll make you a star. And I said, I don't like LA. And she's like, because I came here to test, they would fly me out here. And I was like, where are the people at? Like nobody was walking the streets. No, I didn't know how to cross.
You
know, because they were like, you could just cross the street. I go, you could just draw. You know that I just crossed Beverly like a crazy person.
Oh no.
Yeah, because they told me you could just cross the street from the Sofitel to the Beverly Center. I was like, oh, I guess you need a crosswalk. I was so like lost in this city. I found this city to be so weird and I didn't want anything to do with it. But then, of course, I came and fell in love with the city after years. It took me 3 years to fall in love. So that's how I got it. So Dolores said, I'll be your manager. I came out here and my first job was a pilot called Second Noah. And James Marsden played my brother. But at that time, his name was Jimmy Marsden.
Okay.
And we were both adopted, me and Jimmy Marsden and some other people. And then I got fired when it went to series. And I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And I got fired because they didn't think I was pretty enough. And I got fired. And that was my first thing that ever happened to me here in LA. And after that, I was so terrified for years. LA will mess with your head, man. LA, as much as I love this city, the industry in this city back in the 90s was pretty toxic. And in the early 2000s. And just because people said whatever they wanted to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a pilot called I Love Lupe. It was incredible. It tested so well. They called me and they said, it tested so well, but America's not ready for a Latino family. And I said, okay, because I didn't know any better. This is 1997.
Stop.
Yeah. It said, America's not ready for a Latino family. And I said, okay. And I mean, so... that they were able to say back in the day is insane. You know they think it, but they can't say it anymore.
You know, okay, you bring up a good point because like when I was talking earlier about your resume and all the things that you've been able to do, you've been able to be a part of such really cool projects, some series regular, some heavy recurring, some even just a one episode here, films, like you have an extensive resume. But when we see the yeses, rarely do people get to hear about the no's that you've received in your life. In the moments like that where you book something and then they recast you.
They fire you. And, I mean, they fire you. That's what it is. You know, people try to make it nicer over here, but it's like.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been fired more than that time. I've been fired after that, too. But I don't care. After that, I was in later in my career and it made sense. I didn't work with the project or, you know, I had differences with the people. So, you know, it's happened after that, too.
Is there a big no that you've gotten that crushed you the most that you were like?
Yes. Well, I don't know the most because I've been crushed a lot. I've been in L.A. for 31 years. So I've been crushed it a lot. but I remember my first big devastating crush was when Rent had their first touring company. And I got really, really close and I didn't get it. And that was devastating to me. Devastating. Because I loved that musical so much. But yeah, there's been lots. I mean, I've been devastated a lot. But you forget about it. It's kind of like, I guess I never had a kid. I think it's like childbirth. Yeah. They say you forget about it. Do you forget about it?
That's what they say. You forget the pain and all the drama and... It's somebody said it to me as if it's like biologically whatever hormones is to help you forget it so that you'll want to do it again.
That's what I heard. Yeah. So I think that's the same with acting. I have literally forgotten so much. What I do know is that there was a time when everything was devastating and traumatic and life was going to be over. And now I know that's not true. That I can say.
Yeah.
But that came with age, had nothing to do with the business.
Yeah.
Came with the fact that I'm like, oh, I'm still here.
Yeah.
So that's one of my gratitudes too. I'm still here.
Amen.
Getting up every day at this age, you know, I never even knew what this age would look like. And still being, in my opinion, relevant in this business at this age, you
know. Totally.
So I'm 100%.
Very grateful. What are you filming right now? You were filming something.
Matlock. I've been a heavy recurring on Matlock.
Yeah.
In fact, tomorrow's my last day.
Aww.
No, the show's, it's the season finale.
Oh, okay.
So tomorrow's their last day of shooting. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's the last one.
Yeah.
You think you're coming back?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, listen, the showrunner's Jenny Ehrman, one of my favorite showrunners. You know, she's a showrunner of Jane the Virgin.
Oh, and then you were on Jane the Virgin.
Hello, yes. I was on Jane the Virgin, and which is why I'm on Matlock, because I was on Jane the Virgin. I mean, that's not why. I have a relationship with Jenny.
Yes.
But I believe me, it would be an incredible gig to have because it's shoots here in Los Angeles, and you're with Kathy Bates, Sky P. Marshall, Jason Ritter, Bo Bridges, I mean, Sam Anderson, it goes on and on. And not only that, it's just when you have a showrunner like Jenny, you just know there's no bull. It's all love and it's all like work and, but love and work and respect.
Yeah.
Jenny has no time for that kind of stuff on her sets.
Yeah.
So I love her and I love her team.
Do you guys film on a studio lot or?
Paramount.
Location? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paramount.
Oh, Paramount. I did a stand-in on a show on Paramount lot. And I remember This was like my big bump up from an extra. Hold on, everybody. Okay. Because I went from an extra on Friends, and then the AD on that show, Carlos Piñero, you know him?
Yeah, he was the AD on our show.
Yeah.
On One Day at a Time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then so he brought me on to his next show as a stand-in, and that was Love, Inc., on UPN.
Okay.
Oh, remember wow. UPN?
Yes. Yes.
So this was Holly Robinson P. UPN. It was Holly Robinson P. It was Busy Phillips, Ian Overman.
I love Busy Phillips and I love Holly Robinson P.
Who? Reagan. Reagan.
I don't know these people.
See, I'm on her last name. Reagan something.
Is Reagan a black actress?
Yes.
Yes, I know who she is, but I don't know her last name.
Gomez Preston.
Oh, my yes. God. I was going to say Gomez, yes. But I was like, wait. Oh, I love her. She's beautiful, that girl. Yes.
Her, they're all and then gorgeous. Who was the guy?
Vince Villouf?
Vince.
I don't know him.
Villouf. How do you Villouf? Spell it?
It's V-I-E-L-U-F.
No, I don't know that name.
Nah. But he was hilarious.
He was the only guy. It was
whose stand-in were you?
Ian Overman's stand-in.
I don't know if I know. It
doesn't
matter.
She's like black and white actress, but she was playing Latina on the show.
Yeah, well,
and yeah,
that was when they let that happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I was real that. Latina.
Yeah,
for
yeah,
the stand-in.
Exactly. Oh God, don't even get me started on that. Okay.
But I got my first speaking role on that show. So I was a stand-in the whole series long. Yeah. It lasted one season. And then on the very final episode, there was one little co-star role that didn't get cast yet. And the whole cast kind of like...
Angela. They said, give it to Angela.
Me. Yes.
That's right. Because that's what happened.
Yes.
Because when one of the things that used to be amazing about work being here is that background actors really... had like a home stand-in uh-huh. background because yeah. everybody becomes like yeah. family and you want them to get a line because yeah. you know that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing it to get in the union.
Yes, yes.
So it's always beautiful to have a family that champions you yeah. and that's usually what happens
and
on
that's
sets.
That's what happened. So I got love my it. First speaking role on the final episode of this show.
Love it.
And I was so happy. My mom, my sister flew down to come and be at the taping and watch it. Like it was a whole thing. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. And you're so right that people start championing you, getting around you and like cheering for you and wanting you to win and knowing that. And I remember when I was an extra on Friends. And then the very next show was the Joey spinoff show. I don't even know if you remember. It lasted maybe
yeah,
one season.
Yeah, because I think Diana was on that show, wasn't she? Oh, no, Diana did another one with him. I thought Diana.
No, she did. I think it was Man with a Plan.
Oh, yeah, she did the other one. But I know the spinoff he had. It's went with Drea De Mateo.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
So he did a spinoff show. I was an extra on that show as uh-huh. well. And one of the actresses that played his neighbor, she was a series regular. She played his neighbor. And so there was a moment when we were backstage and I'm entering the apartment building with her, just like the quad yeah. area. When you walk in and so there's the pool and there's whatever. Yes. And then all the apartments are around, mm-hmm. like an outdoor apartment
I used to live
building.
In a place like that.
So we enter together, like as if we just walked in and then she goes this way and I go that way and she just goes bye. And then I just go to my apartment. Like that's all we were supposed to do. Right before we walk on, she goes, okay, what do you want your name to be? And I was like, I don't know. And then she's like, just like pick a name. What do you want your name to be? And let's just say I picked Jessica or something, yeah. right? And then she's like, okay. And then they call action. We go on and she goes, okay, bye, Jessica. And she tried to establish me
yes.
in the apartment building. Aww. So they would like eventually
see, it's like that's
give
that's
me
smart.
A line.
It's smart.
When
smart.
I tell
generous.
You, they said, take it again. Don't give her a name.
You know they did.
Yes, they
Because
they're
did. Like, shoot, we have to pay her.
Uh-huh.
We're going like, to have to pay her. No, 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 Jessica, just buy.
That's exactly what happened.
Someone back there was like, I know what you're doing and cut it out.
That's yeah. exactly what it was. Oh, that's so funny. Exactly. Oh, that's so funny.
But I appreciated it. I was like,
I
yeah,
love
girl.
It. That's what happens. People like, you know, my girlfriend was on ER for 15 years. I did the last season of ER. And the funny thing is they forgot I was on it because I did yes, because it was on for 15 seasons. So uh-huh. I did the live episode when I was like, ER had a live episode that George Clooney pitched.
No way.
And it was in the 90s. Uh-huh. And George Clooney was still on the show. And Bill Bill Macy was on the show at the time too. So it was a whole thing, and we did a live episode and for East Coast and West Coast. And then the last season, they brought me on as a love interest. And I remember John Wells is the producer. But anyway, the casting director was like, "We forgot you were on this." He's like, "Shh, I wouldn't even have brought you in."
Oh my gosh.
But I did the last season because I was like, well, so did everybody else. They forgot I was on this.
You know what? Law and Order SVU does it all the time. Oh.
I was like, we've talked about this where I was like, they keep track of it, but I guess not.
They did it on ER, which was great for me because I loved ER and I love those people. But I started that because my girlfriend Laura was on it for 15 years. And the background actors, they were like family. Mm-hmm. And then they got lines and then they became, you know. Yeah. That was the beauty of like things being shot on a soundstage also.
Yeah. Just become a family, a community. I love that. Give me another gratitude from your life.
Another gratitude. I'm grateful that I was raised in the city of Chicago. I find that to have really shaped a lot of me. Also, it was a great place to start because I so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my grandmother that I had the opportunity to have somebody like that in my life. You know, I mean, it was only 32 years of my life or 33 years of my life, but I'm incredibly grateful for that.
So she got to see you be an actress?
Yeah, she didn't quite understand it though. I mean, one time I put Torque on for her. It's a movie I did with Ice Cube and Adam Scott. And it was a motorcycle movie. And then she's like, she's watching it. And Bendito at this part, she was already pretty sick. And she had her oxygen thing and she's watching it and she throws her head back and she's like, "Ay, quítame esta mierda ya."
What does that mean?
Take the shit off already. She was like, "Ay, quítame esta mierda ya." And I was like, "Okay, thank you."
She forgot it was you. She was watching. She's like, "This movie's dumb."
This, she was like, I mean, that. So, you know, she did that. And then she did get very excited when I was doing a musical with Jaime Camil, who at that time, I didn't know who Jaime Camil was. Uh-huh. It was 2005. And she was like, "Oh, so, you know," in Spanish, she's like, "So you're going to work with Jaime Camil?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't even know who he is. I mean, I know him now. I love him."
Sure, of course.
But Jaime was so famous, you know, like in the Latino world and the telenovelas
so
and
then
all that.
She was
Then she wasn't like, "Quítame esta mierda." Uh-huh. Oh, my God. That was so funny. Because, I mean, like, so it wasn't like, "Whoa, that's amazing." It was like, "Oh."
Oh, I'm so glad she got to see you, though.
I don't think she quite understood it, though. Or maybe I don't know, you know, she did get to see me, but she never expressed any kind of like pride. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's just the world that they came from.
No, she understood.
You know? Yeah, she had to have, you know. It. Yeah. So I'm grateful for her. And I'm grateful for actually like really the people, I have been as terrible as this can be. It's also really magical. And I have some really magical women in my life.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. Tell me about some of them.
Oh, my God. Well, Gloria Calderon-Kellett, you know, you.
Amazing. Oh, thanks,
you know,
queen.
Aida Rodriguez. You know, who else? Diana Maria Rivas, Lisa Vidal, you know, Eva Longoria. I mean, I can go on and on with all of these women that I can just pick up my manager, Danielle Dell, before anybody. I mean, like, this is the woman that has believed in me even when I didn't believe in me. Mm-hmm. All the women that I worked with in Real Women Have Curves, every single one of those incredible women that I shared the stage with, that I would look at and I'd be like, "Oh my God, the community of women, the community of love, the community of like helping each other out when we need help." Yeah. You know, when you call somebody up and you're like, "Whoa, man, I think I need a job." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Can you help me out in something? And or can you? So I am so incredibly lucky, you know, in that world.
100%.
Yeah.
You mentioned Gloria.
Yes.
Who we love.
Superstar.
First of all, One Day at a Time. How? Okay. My question, first of all, how did that come about? Was she already working on the project and she said, I want Justina for this?
No, like, this is a great thing. Okay. I was on Twitter when I was on Twitter, because I don't do that anymore. And I saw that that Rita Moreno was doing the remake of One Day at a Time. And I had always been a huge Norman Lear fan. Mm-hmm. And so I called my manager and I said, hey, can I get in on this? You know, and she's like, you're on a list. I said, great. It just so happened that it was all meant to be. Mm. It so happened that, like, literally I had the weekend off. I had days off and I flew to LA and I auditioned for Norman. And Gloria, we had never met each other before.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't know anybody in that room.
Wow.
They knew who, but I wasn't even who they had in mind. They had somebody else in mind.
Can you say who it was?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me after.
Yeah, I will. They had somebody like Gloria. Yeah. And so when I walked in, it was like, I just knew. And I walked out and then I got
did you feel
right away.
I crushed it. This was.
I did. I also felt I couldn't do anything else because Norman said to me, oh, that was great. Is there anything else you want to do? And I was like, no, I think it's good. And I walked out like that because I was like, no, I don't think I'm, you know, because I knew what he wanted. Yeah. I knew what his stories were. I knew the essence of him was like, you're grounded. Uh-huh. It's real. It's not the sitcom that I hate. Like joke. Uh-huh. I don't like those kind of sitcoms, you know. I don't get those kind of sitcoms because I don't do well with that. So that was it. And truly, it was complicated for me to do it at first because of Queen of the South. But because of Gloria and my manager, it worked out. Like, I was ready to give up on One Day at a Time. And then Gloria DM'd me. And she's like, what can we do? And I didn't even know her.
Wow.
She's like, what can we do for you to do this? What do we do? Wow. And they came up with the plan. And that's how I was able to. They were gracious enough. Yeah. And really, because they didn't have to be.
Uh-huh.
Queen of the South was gracious enough to let me go, to know that I had a better opportunity over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they let me go. Now, they let me go before I even knew I had One Day at a Time, because in order for me to get One Day at a Time, I had to be off the other show. So I still had to test for it.
Yeah.
But I was that positive that I would get it.
Amazing.
And so
how many rounds did you go through for One Day at a Time?
I went for the first time to meet Norman, and then all of a sudden they told me to go to Norman's house. And Norman's house was a house. I mean, it was up in Mandeville Canyon. They don't live there anymore. Well, he passed away. But Mandeville Canyon. And it was just like an estate, girl.
Uh-huh.
I was like house after house. I was like, I never saw anything like that. And then the rotunda, and I get out. And the first thing I say to him is like, my God, you have a big ass house. It was huge. I was like, what the hell? So then we sit in his, and I'm thinking, where are the other actors at? That's when it dawned on me, oh, I'm going to get this.
Because
there was no other actor there.
Yeah.
They didn't have any other person who was testing against me.
Yeah.
I was the only one there. And I hadn't tested yet. But that's when I knew that I was like. And then Norman's talking to me. And then he's like, all right, let's read. And I'm like, what? Oh, okay. So it was like that kind of thing. Like, you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then I went and tested. That's it. Three times.
Wow.
It was literally meant to be.
Beautiful. I love it. And then you and Gloria went on to do the horrors
of Dolores Roach. And Gloria came on after with that because they knew they needed somebody like her. Because the showrunner who I love, Aaron, who did it, they knew they needed somebody who was, she had a deal at Amazon at the time. So that was incredible when she came on because even it's not even her show really. And she took care of business because Gloria takes care of business.
Yeah.
Period.
That show was good.
I know. I can't believe we got canceled.
I can't
that
believe
one really,
it.
You know, you about a heartbreak. That was a huge heartbreak. I literally had like a panic attack meltdown.
Oh man.
It was a huge heartbreak for that incredible show not to get picked up.
It was so good and so unique.
Amazon didn't like it.
What?
Blumhouse liked it, but Amazon didn't like it. Amazon didn't.
It was good.
And that's why they canceled it, because, girl, we got good. We were number one in the world for a long time and the thing. And so it was no such thing what they were saying. They just didn't like the show.
That's wild.
They didn't like it from the beginning. They made us reshoot so much of the pilot. We reshot almost all the pilot. They thought it was dirty. They didn't understand the they didn't understand it. And they never really were that into it, in my opinion.
Was it a different group of executives than the one who bought the show?
No, they wanted to be in business with, well, the thing is they started to be in business with Blumhouse, and Blumhouse wanted this. So that's when, you know, that was their producing company. And Blumhouse, I mean, Jason Blumhouse came on set. He loved the show. And, you know, they don't always come on set. Yeah, it was one of their favorite shows, but
so good.
There was nowhere to put it. Amazon, you know, Amazon let it go.
That's wild to think that a show could be doing so well with the audience, which is who you want it to do well, that you would think you'd be like, I don't like it, but it's working, so let's keep doing it. But they were like,
look at I did a show on NBC, Welcome to the Family, with after three episodes we got cut, and we had the same amount of viewers that Park and Recreations had, but we got canceled.
That's wild.
It sometimes is what they like and what they don't like. Sometimes they can tell you all those things about numbers and this and that, and it's what they like and what they don't like. And and you know, and that's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, it's, you can't make any sense of it, any rhyme or reason. They're a big Park Recreations fan. They didn't believe in Welcome to the Family. You know, it just happens that way.
Girl, your career has been incredible. So many fun projects. I would encourage everybody at home, if you're watching or listening, to go look up some of the shows that Justina has been a part of. They're just so good, especially the one that we were just talking about.
Horrors of Dolores Roach.
So good. One Day at a Time. Just go look. Watch Pedro. It's an independent movie from a long time ago. It's about the young man that was on
The Real World
on MTV, and he was the first gay man with AIDS on TV, and it's like his life story, and you play a sister.
Yeah.
So go check it out. Anyways, Justina, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming and sitting with me and sharing your stories. This was fun. I love hearing all your stories. I could talk to you for hours and hours. I know you got to get out of here, but I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so grateful.
I love you.
For you coming and sitting down with us and chatting.
I love you. And I can't wait to see all the stuff that you do. I'm a big fan.
Thanks, friend. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. Bye.